The reading today is Romans, all of chapter 5, and it's found on page 1116. Page 1116, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase, but where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Good morning. You can keep your Bibles open there, although we will be doing a bit of flicking around as we look at the topic of time. Let's just pray now. Lord God, we thank you for this time we have to reflect on your word, and we ask that you'll help us to hear what you have to say, and that we might be challenged and with wisdom reflect on the lives that we live. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with a poem. This is called Time Is by Henry Van Dyke. Time is too slow for those who wait, too swift for those who fear, too long for those who grieve, too short for those who rejoice. But for those who love, time is not. Now, I think this poem sums up how the world thinks about time. I think it portrays it pretty accurately, that we'll be unsatisfied with time when we're waiting. I remember my uncle said, when you get married, you get very good at waiting. And I don't think he was that impressed with it. But, you know, we'll be unsatisfied when we're afraid, when we're fearful. We'll be unsatisfied with the amount of time we spend grieving. We'll be even unsatisfied, I guess the opposite way, with time when we're rejoicing. But he says here that if we love life, then time won't really matter at all. See, the moral of the world seems to be spend your time doing what you love. Make sure you love your life. Hang around with people you love and avoid anything that might spoil that time that you have. The world says you need to prioritise yourself, your happiness. It's your life, so you may as well do what makes you happy with the time that you have. Yet on the flip side, I find people often complain about not having enough time. You know, they say things like, I'm so busy, you know, I don't have time for all those things at the moment. You know, I'm really time poor. They even take it further. They say they deny having time at all. You know, you've probably done it yourself. You're walking through town middle of the day and for some reason everyone in the street asks you if you have a minute. And so, of course, you deny any time. No, I don't. I don't have a minute. But of course we do, don't we? We've all got 24 hours in a day, which I believe is 86,400 seconds, unless of course it was New Year's Eve where we had 86,401 seconds. You may not have noticed that extra second we had. Apparently the Earth's rotation's been slowing down. Felt like a couple extra hours to me. But, you know, it seems to me that so many of us are just trying to keep how much time we have a secret from everybody else because we all want more. Well, as we, I guess, yeah, I need to ask you a question. What would you do if you had an hour to yourself? What if you had a whole day or a week? What would you do with a month or a year? What would you do with a lifetime? See, as we look at the Bible, even the wise teacher who wrote Ecclesiastes found that there's nothing better to do with your time than to be happy while you live. Of course, he came to a greater conclusion than that. One of fearing God. And we too will come to a bigger conclusion as we look to the importance of time as God has revealed it. We're going to consider both God's time for us and our time for God. See, God's time for us is to preserve and redeem his creation into an eternal future. If we head back to the beginning, to Genesis 3:22, we see that the Lord God said, "The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." See, there it was. After Adam's sin, all people were cursed. They lost access to eternal life. They could no longer eat from the tree of life. They couldn't live forever. We see the punishment for sin is death, and that's reminded to us Sorry, we're reminded of that again in Romans 5:12. Adam received the curse of death, and we all now live under it too. Living forever, it seems, was going to be possible. But now it's not. Now our time is short. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. According to Wikipedia, people in the world have an average of 71 years to live. But you're better off if you're a woman. Especially if you're a woman from Japan, you can live for on average nearly 87 years. But if you have to be a man, you're better off coming from Switzerland, where you can expect to live for 81.3 years. And Australians, we're doing pretty well in fourth place, 82.8 years. And it's about two more if you're a woman and two less if you're a bloke. And as you look around the world, Africa seems to be in the worst situation, with Sierra Leone averaging just 50 years. You know, as we look at that, we think, well, some people seem to have better odds at having a long life. But on the whole, our lives are all very short. Possibly more than we deserve as sinners, but still very short. But even so, they're lives that are long enough for God to preserve and redeem his creation. What did you think life was for? As we read through God's word, we see his plan revealed over time. If you have a look at Romans 5 verse 6, he says, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." This short time we have is God's opportunity for us to know Christ, for us to know salvation and forgiveness of our sin that Christ brings. This short life is one that God took on himself. The incarnate Son of God who became obedient to death, who became obedient to time, a short lifetime, and to ultimately suffer, not for his sins, but for ours. Look, if you're a doctor, no offence, I do like what you guys do, but you practice what you do, don't you? And I assume you're practicing because you haven't mastered it yet. See, the task of a doctor is to keep us all alive and healthy. But ultimately, the doctors are going to fail. They're powerless to do it forever. But what we were powerless to do, God did. It was through Christ's death on the cross, through his resurrection, that he seemingly broke the fabric of time, where people are no longer trapped by it. When Christ's life became immortal again, both physically as well as spiritually. Where the ungodly see the curse turn around and have access to the tree of life again. Or access to Jesus, the bread of life. Those who put their trust in him receive access to life eternal. See, this short time we have is actually a blessing from God. It's where he shows us his mercy and love. That even while we were still sinners, we see that God has made time for us. Time for us to turn to him for forgiveness. Time so that we can receive time without limit. You guys probably know the old question, what would you do if you had three wishes? What would you wish for? And you know, you can sort of play along with the game and you start wishing for things, but how do you only have three? How many do you want? You always want more. And so there's always that, the great answer. Who knows what the best answer is to that one? Unlimited wishes. Sorry, I can't hear any of you just mumbling. unlimited wishes. Why wouldn't we want that? But it's kind of like time, isn't it? What would you do with a day? Or what would you do with a lifetime? You take the opportunity for unlimited life. You know, I don't know if you're into X-Men or... But even if you're not, you've probably heard of Wolverine. I think he's probably the most popular X-Men there is. And it's not because of his bad attitude or his unbreakable, retractable claws. It's because he's immortal, isn't he? His regenerating ability allows him to live forever. And I think that's why people love him so much, because we all too seek eternity. The forgiveness we see through Christ is one that leads to eternal life. It's where God gives up his life so that we can have it. So we need to live in understanding of that. We need to understand the time that we have, that it's a gift from God. Understand that although time is short, it has an achievable purpose. That it's to turn to Christ, to receive forgiveness, and to receive eternity. You know, that brings great joy to me, because there's so many things in life I want to do, and I know that I'm not going to have time for most of them. Not this side of my resurrection anyway. See, in eternity, I'll be able to climb Mount Everest. I'll be able to climb all the mountains in the world. I might even be able to carve a house out of a rock and live in it. I could do all the great things people have done. I could travel the world. I could even travel the universe. Because 100,000 light years it is to get across the Milky Way, I'd have time for that. Now, I asked you earlier, what would you do with your life? But it's bigger than that, isn't it? What would you do if you had an eternity? See, as Christians, we need to think differently about this short lifetime when eternity follows. See, our time is for God, and it's important because he has a mission for us. If you take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, it says, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. See, the message of reconciliation, it's not just a job for the apostles. It's not just a job for elite Christians. But it's for everyone who accepts Christ. God's plan was for reconciliation. You know, it talked about that in Romans 5, and Romans 10 also tells us that we must preach that message. We are given a task to join God in reconciling the world to himself. Most of us are probably a bit old for a game of tips these days, but I'm sure we remember playing build-up tips at least once in our life. You know, it's someone's in, they go around, and when they tag you, you're in with them, and you go around tagging others until everyone is in. That's what it's like if we've received eternal life. Of course, we need to do it with care. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says to us, Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. See, when it comes to the time we have, we need to make the most of it. Because time is still short for those who don't know Christ. They're in danger of running out of time. Their life's not eternal. So our task, if we have eternal life, is to use our 82 years or so to take every opportunity to share what is most valuable. To share our unlimited time during this short time. You know, we're not just to make relationships between people, but to give opportunities so that they can have their relationship restored and redeemed through Christ. And as none of us are simply average in the life we'll live, you know, it might be longer, it might be shorter, we've got to see the urgency for others to come to know Christ and receive eternal life. Just like three wishes is never enough, a lifetime is not enough. We all need unlimited life. And so suddenly nothing in life is so important anymore, is it? That it can't wait. We of course still need to do our day-to-day things, get our rest, get our sleep, eat, possibly cleaning, probably working, looking after the family, looking after your pets, socialising, getting out, enjoying life. There's a lot of things. I'm sure you could add more. And it gets to the point where it's a bit of an exhausting list. And as necessary as those things are, grace must reign in our lives. Eternal life for all is more important. It's more important than anything else to reach out to those around us and sometimes to those who are far from us, those whose time is running short, those who don't have eternal life. Surely we can spend our time sharing the good news of Christ with them. You know, if we've been set free from the time constraints in this life, then we can see time differently. We can see the freedom that it brings. And we shouldn't be keeping that to ourselves. Now, all the mundane things that are important are not as important as the ministry, actually getting out there and sharing Christ and sharing our freedom in time. You know, evangelism, that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? It's actually important for us as well in our relationship with God. It helps us to grow closer to God and know Him better. It helps us to be real to who we are. And it's part of our new relationship with God. And it's the most important relationship that we have. At the end of time, will you have just a lifetime? Or will you have an eternity? If a lifetime is all you have, I can only implore you to take more time. Accept Christ. Receive His forgiveness. Receive eternal life. It's free and it's worth it. Don't waste your life by keeping it short. Now is your opportunity in this short life to make it last, to make it really worthwhile, to accept what Christ has offered you. But for what I expect most of us here today, we have an eternity. And if that's you, then are you living like it? Are you at peace in whatever comes your way in life, knowing that your future is secure? Or are you in fear of missing out? See, the focus of your life needs to be the gospel, the ministry of reconciliation, where you take part in providing people with the opportunity to be freed from all their time constraints. Do you truly understand that God's time has always been about salvation? Even your salvation and everyone else's. That through his work, your time is now eternal. That those who haven't accepted his offer have very little time left. And the most important thing to spend your time doing is unselfishly making the most of every opportunity with those outsiders. Now, I know a lot of us invest in relationships. That's good. But are we just making friends? And are we preserving those friendships and ignoring our ministry? See, I think, you know, we often build relationships with the intention to share Christ with people, but then in fear of losing that relationship, or maybe it's just conflict we're afraid of, we foolishly don't share Christ. I know it's not an easy task, but it is a necessary one. We have to stop wasting our time making relationships that don't share Christ. On the other hand, we may have to stop wasting our time altogether. In the US, I couldn't get Australian stats, but I assume it's very similar. The average person uses 40 minutes a day just checking Facebook. Now, I know some of you do use Facebook to share your relationship with Christ and the hope that he brings, and that's great. But what do you waste your time on? Now, I suspect technology is a big one for most of us. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. Then, of course, there's YouTube and games, music, and TV. It consumes so much of our time, doesn't it? Our time for God, wasted. And then we'll still go around and cry that we're busy, that we don't have much time to do all the things that we want to do, and that we don't have time to do what's important. Look, I'm not saying that these things should be off limits. They have their place. But we need to be wise in how much time we spend on them. We need to be able to detect what we're wasting our time on. We need to get ourselves ready to share the hope we have with others. I wonder if we did a survey here today and worked out the average time people spend on reading their Bible, and prayer, and sharing the hope of reconciliation with others. How would it compare to the things we waste our time on? See, we need to be transformed in the renewing of our thinking of time. See, this short time's not our own. It came at a cost. I know some of you do other things as well that might actually be useful things that may or may not be a waste of time. Maybe it's some hobbies that you have, or tinkering around the house, gardening, cleaning. I don't know. Maybe you're ironing the bed sheets and underwear. I know people who have done that. Are you wasting your time? Do these things have any benefit? Are you doing them in place of things that are more important? Are they stopping you from doing what really matters? See, there's no time to waste, for the outside of their time is short and it could end today. So we need to act now. We don't need to make excuses. If life is really busy, if life's really busy for you, that you're actually living like an outsider, well then maybe that's what you are. Well, maybe you just need to bring sharing Christ into the everyday, into the mundane. Maybe you need to garden with a friend or neighbour. Maybe you need to have dinner with someone. Let your sport team know. Let the people in your club or your group know what it means to have eternal life. By all means, live a busy life and leave the sinful nature behind, but don't leave Christ behind. He's the one who gave you eternal life. He's the one who offers it to the outsider and offers you to join him in that mission. So let's make sure we devote our time to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your time given to us so that we may be forgiven and brought into an eternal future. We ask you to help us now by your Spirit, that we'd live lives for you that bring glory and honour to you, that we'd live lives so that those around us would see that we have an eternal hope. Help us to reach out to those with only a short time, that we wouldn't waste their life by not letting them know Jesus. Amen.